Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's Tuesday, July 20th. In Dillingham, I'm your host, Brian Venwa. Bristol Bay's run is tantalizingly close to breaking the record for the largest run ever to return to the bay. The run of 62.7 million fish is currently the second largest run ever, just 200,000 behind the largest run back in 2018. The Nooshigak District did just break the record for the largest escapement ever at 9.7 million fish. Coming up tonight, as we get closer to the end of the season, management biologist Travis Ellison weighs in on the Naknek Kwejak's season.
Southeast winds have been blowing the fish away from a lot of the set nets and into the deeper water in the district, and I think the fish were running deep, and all those things just made it harder for them to catch.
The wholesale value of Bristol Bay sockeye has increased pretty steadily for the past 15 years.
That figure is now running consistently over $500 million. We've seen the accessible price grow as a result of that.
And a little history on Bristol Bay's limited entry system. When it was first implemented back in 1973, many people didn't understand the full scope of the change.
People didn't really understand that if they didn't apply, then the next year they couldn't just come and get a gear license to go fishing. They'd have to buy or otherwise acquire a permit or fish with someone who had one.
All this and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
And now, the numbers. Bristol Bay's run is less than 200,000 fish away from beating the record of 62.9 million in 2018. The previous second-place holder was over 40 years ago. Fishermen caught a quarter million fish yesterday, bringing the total harvest to 38.3 million. Another quarter million escaped up the rivers around the bay for a cumulative escapement of 24.4 million. Starting with the Nooshigak District, which just broke the record for the largest escapement ever at 9.7 million fish, 70,200 fish swam up to spawn around the district yesterday. The previous record for escapement was 9.5 million fish, also set in 2018. This is the Nooshigak's second largest run on record. Harvest continues to dwindle as more boats are pulled out of the water for the season and set netters pack up camp. Nooshigak fishermen hauled in just 54,000 fish yesterday with an average drift delivery of 224 sockeye. The district's total harvest is 17.4 million. Nooshigak drifters have caught around 80% of that cumulative catch, while set netters hauled in 13%. Ingushik set netters caught another 3%, and 3.5% of the harvest went to unspecified gear types. Now let's take a look at that enormous escapement by river. As the season winds down, Chinook escapement up the Nooshigak River has stayed steady. Yesterday, 545 fish escaped for a season total so far of just under 54,000. Sockeye escapement was down by over half to only 7,016, and the cumulative run sets at 4.66 million. And the Chum Run also dwindles down to 130, with the Chum Run sum holding at 123,000. Hopping over to the Wood River, yesterday's count was a best estimate. Fish and Game says it should have better data tomorrow. About 50,000 fish swam by the counting tower yesterday, with the Wood River total escapement at 4.26 million. The Ingushik River is slowly closing as well. Only 13,000 fish swam by their counting tower yesterday, with just under 1,500 more this morning. The season total there is 813,000. Over in the Togiak District, the Togiak fleet harvested 26,000 fish yesterday. The total harvest for the district is 301,000. The Togiak District also holds steady in escapement, with 9,200 fish swimming through, with 1,000 more this morning by 6 a.m. The season's total escapement is 113,000, with the total run for the Togiak District at 413,000. Taking a look at the Naknek Kwejak District, harvest numbers are comparable to the Noosh. 51,000 fish were caught. Average drift delivery was 150 sockeye, the lowest in the bay. 75% of the total catch went to drift netters, 12% to Quijac set netters, and 13% to Naknek set netters. The district's three rivers saw a combined escapement of 42,500 for a total of 10.15 million fish past the towers. Total run for the Naknek Quijac is 18,417,000. And taking a look at the Naknek River for escapement, they saw about 14,500 salmon swim past the tower there, and the total run for that river is 2.71 million. The Quijac River saw just a few more fish than the Naknek. They have just under 15,000 salmon swimming through, with the Quijac total escapement to date at 4.52 million. And the Lagnek saw the fewest fish in the district, but not by much. Just under 13,000 fish swam by the tower there for a total of 2.91 million. Over in Igigik, the district there had a total harvest yesterday of 58,000 fish, bringing the season total to 7.67 million fish caught. Drifter folk brought in an average of 307 sockeye per delivery and took about 84% of the harvest. Set netters brought in the other 16%. For escapement, about 13,500 swam by Igigik's counting tower for a cumulative total of just under 1.8 million fish. The cumulative run for Igigik so far is 9.46 million. And over in Ugashik, y'all Ugashik fisher folk keep bringing in the most fish this late in the season. Fishers caught 82,000 fish yesterday for a cumulative harvest of 4,600,043. 87% of that fish were caught by drifters, and set netters caught the remaining 13%. The number of sockeye per drift delivery is down, however. Yesterday's average was 314 fish. 134,000 salmon escaped up the Ugashik River for a cumulative total of 2.65 million. The total run for the district is 7.25 million fish. Over at the Chignik Weir, 8,500 sockeye passed yesterday with 66 Chinook. As of 9 a.m. today, 240 sockeye passed the weir. No Chinook have swam through as of 9 a.m. The season total for sockeye is 332,000. The early run is at just below 250,000, and the late run is just over 83,000. The Chignik River Chinook run is at 535, a little over halfway to the escapement goal of 1,000. Taking a look at Area M, they're getting a slight boost again this late into the season. 80,300 sockeye were caught for a total of 5.51 million this season. 70,500 pinks were caught for a season total of 3.56 million. Just under 14,000 chum were caught for a total of 948,000. Just under 5,000 coho were caught for a total of 31,000. And lastly, 793 chinook were caught for a season total of just under 8,000 chinook. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in a moment.
Programming support for KDLG comes from listeners like you and from Nomar, serving Bristol Bay for 40 years with the gear fishermen need. Online at nomaralaska.com.
The run is tapering off in the Naknek Quijac District. Travis Ellison, the district's Alaska Department of Fish and Game's East Area Management Biologist, says fishing has been good, but the weather has been rough.
It's been tough year of fishing, I think, probably for a few reasons. One being real stormy, windy year. Southeast winds have been blowing the fish away from a lot of the set nets and into the deeper water in the district. And I think the fish were running deep, it sounded like, from talking to a lot of fishermen. And all those things just made it harder for them to catch.
A total of 18.3 million fish have returned to the Naknek Quijac District so far this season, and more than 8 million of that was harvested. Ellison says that catch is higher than the district's long-term average, though it's smaller harvest than more recent years from 2015 to 2020. A run typically dies off by mid-July. Ellison notes that this season's run has dropped off much more rapidly than in previous years, with both catches and escapement cut in half daily. Bristol Bay's total run has reached 62.7 million fish. The record set in 2018 was a little over 62.9 million.
It's a little uncertain whether or not we'll break that record, but I think we're close enough at this point. We'll probably get there, even if it just comes with late season escapement.
The run has returned at progressively later dates since 2015. Ellison says that though it's typical for fishermen to start pulling their boats out of the water around this time, there might still be one last push or two of good fishing. The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association released an update last week on the commercial value of Bristol Bay sockeye fishery. It has backed data on those figures since 2005. The price has fluctuated over time. There was a big dip in price per pound and ex-vessel price in 2015, but overall those metrics, the final average price per pound, the final ex-vessel value, and the first wholesale value have increased. We have a question from a fisherman who asked how much of the wholesale value of Bristol Bay sockeye goes to the fishermen. BBRSDA Executive Director Andy Wink said in an email that on average, fishermen have gotten 51% of first wholesale value over the last 5 years on average. The association's preliminary estimate is that fishermen got 40% from the 2020 season. Wink broke down the dynamics. A disclaimer, BBRSDA is a financial supporter of the KDLG fisheries report, but that does not change how we cover it.
We've actually seen not just ex-vessel value go up in step with first wholesale, but we've seen fishermen getting a higher share of that wholesale value. So in the mid-2000s, it was running usually a little bit under 45%. And if we look at like the five-year average, now it's closer to 51%. So, you know, again, not only are fishermen kind of doing better, but they're actually getting a higher share of that first wholesale value. That's kind of what we'd expect to see, right? If you have a product that is gaining in value faster than production costs, you'd expect the raw material to become worth more and kind of a higher share of that product value. And that's what we've seen.
KDLG's Stephanie Malterich talked to Wink about why the fishery's wholesale value has increased since 2006.
Overall, the price since 2006 has gone up. I know you just mentioned, you know, you've only been tracking since 2005, but so a year into it, it's been on a constant uphill trend. What's changed since then?
Yeah, well, a lot has changed in 15 years. Back then in the mid-2000s, a lot of the frozen sockeye went to Japan. A lot of it was canned, and so that went into can markets. And now Japan and the can markets probably taking less than 20%, maybe even less than 15% of the sort of wholesale value share. And so we're really seeing a shift in markets as well as product form. Obviously, people are aware there's a lot more fillets being produced. There's a lot more fish being sold in the U.S. as well as Canada and the North American market. And so that has really grown the value of the resource. I mean, back in 2006, the first wholesale sales amounted to $241 million, not adjusted for inflation. So, you know, it's a little bit apples to oranges here, but that figure is now running consistently over $500 million. We've seen the ex-vessel price grow as a result of that as well. And of course, it's not a straight line. It's not that we see it tick up the same amount each year, but just in general, back in the mid-2000s, the final Bristol Bay sockeye price was generally around 60 to 70 cents. And now the last few years, we've seen it kind of bounce from a 104 last year is what Fish and Game has for their preliminary final estimate. But it's been up as high as $1.60 in 2018. So, yeah, I'd say development in new markets, expanding product forms like fillets. And of course, that's been driven by increasing and improving quality. That's all allowed this fishery and the markets it sells into to really change and kind of evolve for the better, right? I mean, we've seen these values go much higher. It's really a success story, I'd say, as far as the fishery and the supply chain. And fishermen have done better as a result.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear just quality and different type of processing, and that kind of turns the price.
Yeah, and I should add, I mean, we've been now for the last 5 years, if this season keeps going the way it is, This might be the sixth year in a row of harvests over 200 million pounds. And back in the mid-2000s, it was more like 150 to 175 million. So, you know, working with a little bit less fish, which partly explains why that total first wholesale figure was a little smaller. But really, it's you know, more being driven by higher prices, both at the wholesale and accessible level.
And our last story for today. Bristol Bay and other fisheries around the state have operated under a limited entry permit system for almost half a century. In 1972, people in Alaska voted to amend the state constitution to allow for a restriction on entry to Alaska's fisheries to conserve the runs, help the economy, and promote aquaculture. KDLG's Izzy Ross sat down with Fred Teresi, who worked as a lawyer in Dillingham, just as the system was implemented in the early 70s. People could get permits if they could prove they had enough experience fishing between 1960 to 1972. Teresi says at first, the full scope of the change wasn't well communicated.
Back in those days, there was no KDLG. There was very few ways for people to learn new changes. And limited entry was a fundamentally new system because before that, you know, you'd come down to Dillingham and you'd pay $10 and you'd get a gear license and then you'd hire your crew and you could go fishing. And so every year you'd get a new gear license. And when limited entry came, they had this, you know, they had to start somewhere. So they had this complicated point system that based on your past fishing history, you'd be entitled to a free permit. But you had to apply, and there was a deadline, and people didn't really understand that if they didn't apply, then the next year they couldn't just come and get a gear license, go fishing. They'd have to buy or otherwise acquire a permit or fish with someone who had one. So it was a very different mindset, and it took years to resolve. Obviously, they're worth a lot of money, those permits. They limited it, and it's evolved nationwide like that now. They have IFQs in other places. All sorts of fisheries are limited. But at the time, it was a new idea. They amended the Alaska Constitution because they'd tried limited entry a few times before and it had been found unconstitutional. And there was a question in 75 whether this system would be. There were lawsuits trying to determine whether it was or was not constitutional. And in the meantime, all the locals here had varying degrees of difficulty getting their permit. Some of them missed the deadline. You had to show that you fished in the past and what your income percentage was. It was a complicated deal, kind of a one-time deal, but it lasted for many years, lots of lawsuits, lots of problems in creating it. And now we have a system where you either have a permit or you don't, and you can sell them or you can emergency transfer them if you're ill. And so it's a whole new system from what was here before. And it took a while for people to understand that.
You know, they could have amended the Constitution earlier. What was the tipping point?
The change was statewide. Bristol Bay was one of the first to be implemented. And you can talk to different people about why. I mean, we certainly had some horrible fish years in the early 70s. And it really looked like you couldn't manage the fishery because there was increasing gear and fewer fish. I mean, 71, 72, 73, some of those years were very poor, and when you look at it now, we're back in the flush years, which is just wonderful to see. But I think it was an evolving thing everywhere in the country as to how they were going to regulate commercial fishing. Salmon, of course, have been overfished everywhere in the world. Alaska, you know, had a very good, and still has a very good program for opening and closing and preserving the fish. But you know, with fewer fish, it's more difficult than with many.
You mentioned that people, at first, when limited entry went into effect, it wasn't really well communicated or fully communicated to people who fished. What was that change like from your perspective for people here?
It was a huge change. So Legal Services, which had opened an office here in 74, brought a lawsuit and saying, look, this deadline is unrealistic. We need lots more time to get the word out. And that lawsuit was resolved with a settlement. BBNA got a contract to go around all the villages and sign people up. But even after that, hundreds of people missed the deadline or didn't understand it in a fundamental way. And so the lawsuit was reopened in 77 and again went all the way through the process. And the second time was settled after argument at the Supreme Court. And in the end, quite a few people got access to that. But it was a big change for people. And as I say, we had ARCs, and the Air Force TV is the only one they had. They didn't do any local programming. There really was very few options. And then when KDLG opened, so the second application, there was a lot of reliance on the radio station. And, you know, people started listening and talking to each other. And, of course, word spreads. So, you know, most people ended up getting signed up that should. So the system wasn't perfect, but that's what happened. And how we ended up where we are today, where permits are market price transferable.
Thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to walk through the history of limited entry and a little bit of where we're at now.
Thank you.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Brailler, thanking customers for purchasing brailers, slush bags, net bags, and upholstery from a local family-owned company. Measuring and building gear for a perfect fit. Orders at 907-469-0782 or bristolbaybrailler.com.
That's just about it for tonight's show. We have a request for everyone who stayed with us here on the air this summer. Tell us what you think of the show. This helps with funding and allows us to plan for an even better season next year. You can email us at fish, that's F-I-S-H, at kdlg.org, and tell us what you think. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay tonight. Starting here in Bristol Bay, it's southwest winds 10 knots, seas at 4 feet with rain. Tomorrow, Wednesday, southwest winds 15 knots, seas at 4 feet with some more rain. From Port Hyde to Cape Sarachev, tonight there's a southwest wind at 20 knots, seas at 6 feet with rain. And tomorrow, Wednesday, west winds 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. Taking a look at the tides starting at Clark's Point in Nishigak Bay. Low tide 6:34 p.m. of negative 1.92 feet, with the high tide peaking at 1:04 a.m. of 20.92 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, that low tide's at 7:08 p.m. of negative 1.79 feet. High tide peaks at 1:22 of 21.76 feet. And over in Igigik, that low tide was at 5:29 p.m. of negative 2.0 feet. And the high tide will peak at 12:11 a.m. of 17.11 feet. We also have some messages to the fleet. Sending greetings to the strong, amazing women fishing on the Crawdad. We're thinking of you as the numbers rise. We wish you blue skies and calm seas, along with continued great landings. From family and friends on the coast of Maine, from Esperanza. Hi to Captain Tyson and Greenhorn Gabriel on the Free Amin crew. Hope you had a great run. Almost done. We miss you. Love Mom, Dad, Charlie, and Rashmi. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributors from you, the fishing fleet. We appreciate it. I'm Brian Benoit. Good night. Good fishing. See you back here tomorrow.